But you are, but Alvin, you are essentially, you are essentially saying to me that if the radio station decides that it is going to put Adrian Donovan on the air, you must talk to him only in the context of being an expert on sewage or sewerage. I am saying to you that a judgment call can also be made that if a person has long been out there making an argument as a resident and speaking on behalf of residents, then you are also in a position to make a judgment call as to whether that person... And therefore, I want to tell you, and I say right here and right now and yet again, please, when you call me and avoid these confrontations about editorial policy. That ain't your domain.
Do not accuse me wrongfully again. Mr. Ellis, all I...
Let's move on. Let us move on, Alvin. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, welcome.
I am no aviation expert, but I've been involved in the travel and hotel business for a number of years. And the whole issue with the potential risk being posed by the squatters at Rock Hall and the potential damage that it could cause concerns me. And I did not hear Mr. Beckles. I did not hear his contribution, but I heard Mr. Coppins. And in the meantime, I did some research prior to give you some numbers. The problem at Rock Hall is symptomatic of the lawlessness that is going on in this country and seems to be supported by people who should know better. I would say no more on that. Looking at a website called Quora.com, and anybody can go online and check it out. The average cost of an airline crash using a New Zealand average went between $22.6 million to $58.4 million U.S. dollars. And that was in direct costs associated with medical expenses, damage to the aircraft and property, cost of the investigation, and stuff like that. And outside of that, in the U.S. here in 1994, the U.S. Airways crash in Pittsburgh, outside of all those other expenses they talk about, the plaintiffs got an award, the passengers on the aircraft got an award of $25.2 million. Now, if you add, $25.2 million. Now, if you add $25.2 million to $22.6 million, which is the lower end of the average using the New Zealand sketch, you are talking about $47.8 million in associated costs with having an airline crash. Now, if the crash can be proved as part of the investigation, if liability for the crash can be laid at a particular person or a particular entity, then that entity is also liable. And nobody knows what the costs associated with that are. So I think to save ourselves, and if we think that safety is expensive and putting safety protocols in place are expensive, let us have an accident and we will see what is the most expensive issue. Because these numbers are staggering, and I agree with Mr. Coppin. I don't think it would cost us $22 million U.S. dollars to relocate the squatters at Rock Hall.
But we have to be vigilant because we have moved squatters out of White Hill and taken them to farmers. And other people went and took up the spaces.
But that is our fault.
Some of them went back and some of them didn't, but others took their places. Caller now, yes.
How's it going?
Yes, good afternoon.
Sometimes I wish you were really in thought being so diplomatic. It's a good thing I don't work for a radio station or belong to a political party. I wish you could stop saying that people don't understand.
Who said that? Who said that?
When the gentleman was speaking in terms of the aviation and saying that ministers didn't understand. They don't understand the importance of what could possibly happen and that sort of stuff because running an airport is so...
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say you said it, David. Okay.
That was what the gentleman said. And this is what, generally speaking, people say when they are trying to be diplomatic.
No, I think this conversation, the conversation recognizes that the expertise is available and that advice has been advanced.
No, David. What the conversation recognizes is that people have been told this did not just come up yesterday or the day before or the year before or even the decade before. The fact that they were taking some small actions to mitigate to incur the absolute wrath of the IA or whatever it is shows that people understand certain things.
So what would be the factors that would influence that?
Politics?
Yes.
The quest to maintain power.
Politics is a reality.
Pardon me?
And politics is a reality.
But I never said it wasn't. But the reality is that we are all people. That's the reality. The reality is that some of us are greedy. The reality is that some of us some of us don't. But the point of the matter is, you were hired in order to solve problems. And when you come now telling me that, you didn't understand the importance of something, I have a problem with that. Especially when I hear it again and again and again. The Barbadian way is to do something only when somebody dies. Look at the situation we had with Well. And now we begin to decide, somebody dead now. So it's time to take action.
That's why this discussion is so important today.
Right, but this isn't just about aviation. This is about what has happened in this entire country.
But you have to take it bit by bit.
In all areas of it.
Okay, in terms of
in terms of people getting shot. In terms of people...
I understand that, but you can't... You can't... Yes. It is so difficult to deal with everything at one time.
Life is difficult.
But you can't... You're a small country.
You can't walk and chew gum?
Sir.
Is that what you're telling me?
No, I am saying to you that this is a small country with limited resources.
Which makes it... No, hold on. Don't come with that.
Well,
the most important resource of any country is the minds of the people.
And
when I hear people tell me that Barbados has no natural resources... I say that's a bunch of foolishness.
I'm not here to get involved in a very general and vague discussion.
But I'm not being general.
Listen, Barbados has had...
What I'm saying is that we use...
Just give me a second.
Yeah.
Barbados has had 48 sittings of the House of Assembly since last year.
Mm-hmm.
In the 48 sittings, we have had a whole set of legislation that has been passed. I don't know if you have had an opportunity to go and check, not the order paper, but check the bills and resolutions that have been passed in the House of Assembly over the past year or so. There are several. Yeah. I'm saying to you, therefore, that part of what we are facing is that a lot of change is being initiated, but we have not been able to understand the implications of most of these changes.
Which are you talking about?
The country as a whole.
Okay.
That there are very few institutions and organizations that are putting that information under detailed scrutiny. And it works in conjunction with the media. You need to have organizations like the Bar Association, the Engineers Association, the architects, and other specialists who zero in on these things.
I agree with you 100%.
It seems to me that part of the problem is that in this instance, the administration is way ahead of the rest of Barbados. And the question is, how can we make a difference in that regard? David, what can we do?
David, no. Hold on. Again, here you go, abdicating responsibility. Yeah. I have not said that this current administration is not doing its utmost best in order to resolve problems. Mm-hmm. I have not said that. I have not said that every single politician is useless. Mm-hmm. I have not said that. I have not said that every single public servant is useless. There are people in this country who are doing the level best they can with what they have available to them for this country. And I hate to hear people come across and say certain things like, oh, Barbadians are nasty, or Barbadians are lazy. There are some people who are nasty. There are some people who are lazy. But by and large, what you see happening in Barbados is Barbadians being frustrated with an intellectual
This is the part of the conversation that I can't deal with. I can't deal with this generalized stuff. I want to hear you
yeah.
as a Barbadian who is concerned about the situation. Discuss
yeah.
with me how we can work together to tackle that kind of problem.
David, how long have we been calling brass tacks?
Yeah, but brass tacks is one mechanism.
No, is that the first thing that I came, the first time that you invited me on the program, what was it we were discussing? Wait.
What I'm saying to you is that we can sit down here, right?
Yes.
And we can say all that is wrong. And we know that's wrong. I would say to you, let me just make the point, you know?
Yeah.
Let's make the point. As we sit down here and discuss Rock Hall and Time Bottom, as a journalist, I must tell you that I feel that my profession also has failed the people in not pursuing something like this. And for us to discover, coming from the comments of people who have worked in the area, just how serious this situation has been for the security and safety of the country. So there is more than enough blame to go around, but what can we put in place? How can we work together to try to minimize the extent to which these things go under the radar to the point that we end up with a crisis, and only then will we be responsive?
David, all the years you've heard me speak, you have never, ever heard me criticize without presenting solutions to something. Never. And I have been pounding on the particular solution that I found most important at the particular time or within the area of expertise. In order for me to figure out something, I go and do the research before I talk about it. And I try to share that research and share that information with everybody. But the point of the matter is, it is not so much about what people don't know. It is about people's attitudes to receiving information that they don't like.
Give me some specifics.
Oh, my goodness. This whole situation, as I said, with the airport. That's the best specific. What more better specific do you want than
so
that?
Where's the evidence that
you're
telling
me that the person?
Where's the evidence that they didn't like the information?
No, just a second. Where's the evidence that they didn't understand the information? Because I'm saying that if you have an individual who was the representative of the area, no less a lawyer, you're telling me that that gentleman did not understand the legal ramifications of the impact those quarters and stuff could have? And despite the fact that every single ministry has a raft of technocrats below him in order to advise them about new problems or continued problems or whatever, you're telling me they still did not understand?
Well, I think that part of
you can't avoid responsibility like that.
I'm not so sure exactly.
But you talk about the responsibility that the media has in terms of reporting
certain things.
Look at the criticism we're getting.
The problem I have is that...
You just spoke about the police.
Hold on. You talk a lot. I think the problem...
But you asked for the examples I've given you now.
Hold on. I just think that you can't be so narrow in...
Who's being narrow?
Hold on now.
How am I being narrow, David?
Hold on. Let me make a point. in defining exactly who is responsible, I think we are all responsible. I think that there are other organizations. Just give me a break now.
I'm sorry.
I think that there are other organizations and entities in Barbados that must have been privy to what was going on in this regard and must have been aware of the dangers. But for whatever reason, they did not participate in trying to bring greater public awareness to it. And part of the, once the public is better informed, I think that it can play more of a role in trying to bring about the change that is necessary. If you don't have the information, people in positions of power will try to maneuver in such a way that they can ignore it. So this is what, to me, I'm calling for greater information on matters like these so that you and I could then say, but make an informed judgment and say, look, what can we do about this? This is dangerous and we need action. And I think this is one that has gone under the radar, no pun intended, you know.
What but you David, think? You see, you just called. I have the various institutions that you've called that we hear no comment from. In some cases, I would say that it is because of fear of victimization or whatever, or that they mightn't get jobs or something like that.
What would they bell?
Pardon me?
What would they bell? You remember how many years we have been discussing the situation in the Bell, which had been flagged as a potential danger to our water supply? You remember the political intervention? And all of this is part of our reality.
Yes, David, I agree with you, but you're saying what can be done. And I'm here trying to tell you that it's not just about the organizations getting up and speaking. I ask, what role is the University of the West Indies playing in relation of issues and stuff in this country in terms of coming up with creative ideas or whatever, or holding discussion forums to discuss it? What role, one of my pet peeves.
Why don't you open a blog?
No, just a second, one of my pet peeves. Harrison College. Okay? Harrison College was considered or the premier institution in this country. And it graduated a whole lot of people who are supposed to be most intelligent in this country. And I have not heard anything. No, anytime I get an invitation to come to Harrison College for something, it's about for a fete or for a party or something. Not an invitation to discuss the issues that go on in the country. And I think we have a responsibility to the country as being paid for our education by the country to have these conversations, to have these discussions.
The only point of departure between the two of us is that I am trying to press you into specific mechanisms that you believe or to think about it. Specific mechanisms that we can devise to be more effective in bringing matters of this nature to public attention and calling for action. That's the point of departure between us, huh?
No, that's we are departing because I'm saying there has to be discussion. There has to be free and open ventilation of various situations in the country. Mm-hmm. It is sad that we only have brass tacks, really, and talk to a lesser degree in order to know, to have that discussion with the people.
But the government just recently had a discussion about the data protection bill. In that process, the government pulled together a select committee and invited members of the public to submit their views on the implications of that particular legislation. And people responded. I mean, you can go to Parliament's website and look among the documents, and you will see all that people said. So that's another mechanism.
Huh? I don't have a problem with that. I think that's a very good idea. And as I said earlier, when the government took office, one of the very good things that they did is when they sent out that questionnaire that totally outlined the different debt that the entire country was in, the situation that we found ourselves in.
The only point I want to make to you on this issue of the squatting is that in the time that I have been around, there's been the Bell, And then there's been that issue down there in St. Peter at Six Men's. That's been a long-running one. Where a private landowner has been complaining. And I have absolutely no doubt that when you get behind this, politics has played a critical role in having these matters unresolved. Okay? Down to brass tacks. We got to go. Down to brass tacks. It's at 1:38. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. This is Lolita here. I called to give a bit of a solution to the my ideas about the garbage. Mr. Sherry said just now that he does not agree with 1 or 2 and 3 garbage cans. My suggestion was, you know, sort of a temporary solution until we could get everything sorted out. We do this in our neighborhood, and we have no problem with pile up garbage and the flies and all those kind of things. Get your garbage can. My thing was get your garbage can. Keep your garbage covered. Keep them at on your property. That was what I was suggesting. Mr. Sherry, he suggests a big container, all that. In the meanwhile, persons are taking their garbage and laying them next to like poles and different things like that. So that was my suggestion for it, to keep an eye on home. I just want Mr. Sherry knew clear what I meant. All right.
Okay, thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm well, and you?
I'm good too, Mr. Ellis.
Okay.
Now, some of the other callers have been welcoming you back from vacation.
You're not.
But I'm going to welcome you back to the program.
Oh, okay. Only one person went in the direction of vacation, though, not some.
Oh, all right, well, no problem. I didn't pick up all. Anyhow, I had cleared my desk on Monday, expecting that the first day of the program would be back to normal, that I would get you.
Okay.
And it didn't happen.
Got something special
but
for
I would
me?
Like to... Hello?
You got something special for me?
I always got special things for you. I want to take a look at this same rock hall thing. But before I get there, there's two things that I got outstanding. I want to clear up with you there. About 4 Fridays ago, while I was out making my rounds, Mark Maloney called you. And during the conversation, he went on to praise you. He said that you're smart, that he called you to talk about certain things, and you have him talking about other things.
Mm-hmm.
And you said to him that there's enough questions out there that the public want you to ask him. So I dropped whatever he was doing and listened now to hear the number one question asked. And you didn't. So for not asking the number one question, Mr. Ellis, I can put you to the back of the class.
Thank you very much.
So when you get
at least answer, you can put me at the back of the church and get read out.
No. The sandboys will do that, not me.
Okay.
But when you get to the back of the class, you will remain there until you get the answer.
No problem.
So if you find it yourself or somebody has
no
there,
problem.
Then you could come back.
Not worried at all.
Right. The number one question that people want to hear answered, possibly by him or whoever, what per square foot the land at Coverley was either sold or bought for? So that's the number one question, and you didn't answer it. So whenever you get that answered, you could come back to the head of the class. Right?
As long as you ahead of me in that class, I might prefer to stay at the back.
Oh, good. But the choice is yours. There was times that certain classes either like the back, and then some that either like the front too. So you got choice.
You're even getting into those details.
Right. Good. Next thing I want to look at with you. You know, I say this all the time. The beauty in hypocrisy is that we can judge it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that one artist get banned for singing about Eric Jerome Dickey.
Excuse me. I ain't talking about that right now.
Okay, no, baby, you just hold a minute.
I just want you to know that for me is not something that I'm going to discuss with you. And I'm going to put it this way.
I am not discussing it either, Mr. Ellis.
Okay, fair enough.
I can look. And all the others prove what a hard seed he is that all the others sang about him. So we can leave that there.
To get dumped for that, because let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't coming here to have people like you accuse me of hypocrisy.
Mr.
Right?
Alexander ain't accused of fire.
No. Let me tell you something. I ain't born last night, and I ain't putting up with that. Okay?
Or we can leave that there, Mr.
Thank you very much.
We can leave that there. No, Mr. Ellis, this squatting at Rock Hall, right? It has been going on for some time. Agreed?
You know that to be so.
Right. Agreed. It's been going on for some time. Now, here was a great opportunity to solve it. Now, Minister Prescott had given the people in the Bell the impression that they could go and live in Coverley too. So I know some of them expectations that they was going there. Lo and behold, the incoming government took up the land that was too much for one man and sold it to the same man. So instead of he leasing it, he owned it. Here now, you got another problem now with some squatters. That land would have been good to get a portion of it to relocate those people there, which would not be that far there. Lo and behold, it already sold. So maybe now they can go.
It's not the only land available in Barbados.
Was that, Miss Ellis?
It wouldn't be the only land that is available in Barbados.
But it would be in good proximity. It would be in good proximity.
No, but the critical issue.
Maybe now they can go and buy back some, Mr. Ellis.
The critical issue is that you have a place or more than one place to relocate the people. And that after that, you make sure that nobody else goes back there.
Well, Mr. Ellis, you know, we preached that same thing about White Hill.
Precisely.
And they tried to convince you that nobody went back. So I wouldn't even entertain that, but you're not going back. I'm saying that land would be in close proximity there, and if it wasn't sold, they could get a portion of it for those people.
You know what the problem is?
Mm-hmm.
And I see it in so many areas. The country has a core of people who, whenever action is taken to protect what some see as the interests of this country and to follow the rules, they can find every possible excuse to encourage worthlessness and bad behavior. You know? And as a result, weak people give in to their behavior because they are afraid to stand up and be counted. And that is at the core of a lot of what Barbados is going through. And if people who are in responsible positions are so weak-kneed and yellow-bellied that they cannot go with the courage of their convictions, this country is going to go down the drain. And there are too many people that I hear on a variety of issues in Barbados who find excuses for bad behavior and wrongdoing.
Mr. Ellis, you know hit the nail on the head. You know hit the nail on the head. Because these people's conviction was that the land was too much for one man, and now they get in position to deal with it, they sold it to him. So that's exactly what I'm saying.
I don't know the details of any sale in relation to that matter. The fact of the matter is that Coverley is now a done deal, and a lot depends upon agreements that are reached by previous administrations and stuff. If you...
No, Mr. Ellis.
Let me make my point. If you have an agreement that essentially establishes a pattern and a particular way of life, then it is difficult to go and undo something like that. I don't know the as I said, I don't know the details of that. I haven't checked into it. But there's that possibility that you come to the conclusion, hey, and especially in light of what happened here with the university and all of that, that might have influenced the whole situation. I know that the Barbados Labour Party did criticize the whole question of the Coverley deal years ago, but by the time they came back to office, surely Coverley was a fait accompli. So maybe that influenced
not true,
it.
Mr. Ellis.
Anyhow, I don't know
that
the details.
That is not true, Mr. Ellis. Mr. Ellis, no, the same thing you're condemning is the same thing that you're doing. Mr. Ellis,
I do not, listen, I just tell you, I don't know the details, so I can't get involved in it. I can only give you an outline of what is possible. Until I get into the nitty-gritty of it, you and I can't go into that kind of detail with you.
Well,
I
can go, Mr. Ellis. And it was public knowledge that the land was tumbled for a war, man. Do you know that, Pat?
I don't know that.
You know that the land
I don't know that it was too much.
Years?
That was not the issue. The issue was what was paid for the land and the duration of the lease. It was not about being too much for one man. I remember that aspect of
true,
it.
That is not true, Mr. Ellis.
Well, but you have your view and I have mine.
The proclamation was that it was too much for one man.
Who said that? What proclamation?
Everybody.
No. I lived through that and that is not my interpretation
right.
of it.
No, he ain't only lease it now. He own it now. So that is a change, Mr. Ellis. And now, up to now, nobody, not even you, don't want to say what per square foot it was sold at. Now, I know, but
My recollection, I don't know how much it was sold at this time. Look, please, I have put my cards on the table. I have told you that I recall the initial discussion. I think it was about NHC land that was sold at $2 a square foot for a 99-year lease or something like that. I don't recall this discussion about the new administration having sold the entire thing. I don't know that... Hold on. Don't try to drown me out. I will have to do my research into that because that is such a big issue that I would expect that if that happened, it would have changed the terms of the 99-year lease. So I need to get behind this to find out how all of a sudden you could come with all of this information and I could be completely oblivious to something as big as that taking place in Barbados. So let me check and get back to you, okay?
Mr. Ellis, that was in the air too long for you.
No. I don't know of it. My producer...
For the price per square foot, everything.
My producer, I don't think that Dennis recalls that. This update that you are talking about, I don't remember.
$13.5 million, Mr. Ellis.
All right. Well, let me check into it. Let me say to you, look, at the end of the day, we all have to go with the facts as they are. And I give you this assurance. Once these are the facts, I'm never going to try to retreat from it. We all have to live with it and work with it. And if the government makes an error in judgment, this country is still a country where we should be able to say and can say we don't agree with it. All right? If you are right, I will tell you you're right. Okay?
You'll be back on Monday, Mr. Ellis.
I should be.
Or
let me check into it
then.
All right, sir. Thanks very much. Down to brass tacks. You're on the air. It's now 1:51. 1:51. You're on the air.
I don't want your money.
Listen, you're in the supermarket.
Yeah, here I'm a guy.
Hello. Are you talking to me or are you talking to the person in the background? You're on the air, you know.
Hello.
Right.
Oh. Hi. Good afternoon, Miss Ella.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Sorry about that. I want to, congratulate a young lady that I saw in a news clip on The Nation for doing such a good job at the hospital, because she has arrived at a point in her life where she thanked her late mother, if she was alive, for helping her. Pass all a lot of these students as a senior nurse there. And it's still good to see that we have young people doing positive things in Barbados. And I want to also take this time to congratulate the nation on promoting some good positive things about the young people, showing the others not all young people are bad.
Great. Down to brass tacks. Let's take another call. I think we have time for, well, possibly two more calls before the program ends at 2 o'clock. Welcome. Today's program has really been strongly dominated by the discussion about the squatting at Rock Hall in St. Philip and the need to move residents from in the area of the flight path at Time Bottom. And while the Prime Minister has spoken about setting up a fund and finding land for the people who've been squatting there because of health concerns, one of our contributors today, a former director of civil aviation, has put the spotlight on the risk to aviation, to planes coming in at Grantley Adams International Airport, and the possibility that Barbados could find itself cited by international civil aviation authorities for our failure to act in this regard. It really does bring to the fore the question of how is it that in the face of something of this magnitude, we could have found ourselves in a situation where it has emerged to this point where such a risk exists. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Yes, good afternoon. First time caller.
Yes, a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. I don't want to talk about the squatters. I just want to talk about the water issues that are going on in the country.
Yes.
Well, I live in the St. George area, and 2 days, we didn't have any water. The water was going off like right 6:37 in the morning, coming on like 7:30 in the night. So you had to like do what you had to do in the night. And I queried with the water companies what's happening. They said to me that the water levels are low. And while I can understand that, I still don't understand who makes the decision when to shut off the water at particular points. If they say they were going to shut it off at 9 or 10 o'clock during the day, then persons would know, get yourself ready. But when you close off the water at like 6:37 in the morning, when persons are now getting up to get to work, now getting the day started, now that poses a problem.
How long has this been happening in your area?
In my area, this is something that has been going on for quite a while.
What is quite a while? A year? 2 years?
More than a year. And usually it would happen like in the December period. And many Decembers we go without water. And I mean, this is like 4 years we go without water in the December period. You can't do anything.
What advice have they given you in terms of trying to mitigate against that?
Nothing, because right now I'm deciding I'm going to take up the issue with fair trading, because I understand that I can, because I usually would call and find, okay, why is...
Are they selling... didn't the Barbados Water Authority advise that they were selling tanks as well as a means of trying to cushion the impact of that?
No, they that was never advised to me. It was last year when the water went off in the area, and it did come back on. Everybody else, all of my neighbors had water, and I'm the only person who didn't have water.
Why is that?
I called them, they sent a van, the guys came, looked, mm-hmm. left. I called them again, they sent somebody. I made several calls, I was giving
okay,
them
but let me say to you, you say nobody advised you on that, but haven't you thought about that as one means of
trying? Yes, I have thought. I have thought about getting a tank.
And?
Because I think in this area, even if my neighbors at the bottom are just a small incline, if they are getting water, mm-hmm. because the majority of persons at the bottom of the incline, they get the water. And I'm at the top. And the persons at the top, we don't get any.
Right.
So why others might be getting a trickle below, we at the top.
Because of the pressure.
Yes.
But there are times when the pressure is good.
Well, yes.
So when okay. if you have a tank, it would mean that on those occasions when the pressure is good, your tank will be filled.
Right, but I don't have a tank.
Well, that's what you need.
Problem.
That yeah, is what you need. Because given the length of time that it has been going on, and perhaps you should call the water authority and ask them whether that particular offer which they had on the table some time ago, whether that still stands, or alternatively, what advice they would give you in terms of where you can go to get a tank in the place. Because trust me, this problem isn't going to go away. The magnitude of what we are experiencing right now is significant. And, you know, I was talking with a climatologist just a few days ago, and the drought situation is something that Barbados is experiencing from time to time and will continue. So you need to look after your best interests in that particular way. Thank you all today for this edition of Down to Brass Tacks.